I'd like to introduce our guest speaker for today, who also will lead the meditation. And three words come to my mind after spending time with her: energetic, enthusiastic, and very enlightened. And I know for those of you that had a chance to connect with her, you probably feel like you've known her for a long time. She's just so warm and welcoming, and we're thrilled to have her energy with us today. Diana Chapman is a third-year ministerial student working on her Master's of Divinity degree at Unity Institute and Seminary. She became a licensed Unity teacher in 2012 and has served as a prayer chaplain, worship leader, and song leader at her home church, which is Unity of San Leandro in Northern California. She's lived all over the place, and she brings a lot of interesting experience to us today. She's also a singer and songwriter and enjoys writing and performing her own original songs whenever she gets a chance. And something tells me we might be hearing her voice in another way in front of us at some point. Her most recent CD is called Rivers of Living Waters and is available online. And she is on the path to become a licensed and ordained Unity minister in June of 2016. Let's give a warm Unity welcome to Diana Chapman.
Good morning. I'm so honored and blessed to be here this morning. So grateful to walk this wonderful spiritual journey with you here at Unity of Washington, D.C. Who knew? Thank you. Who knew this daughter of a preacher would be standing here today? Yes, I am a PK. I'm a preacher's kid. Don't worry, you're not going to be here for an hour. I grew up in the church, and my dad was a preacher, and my mom was a singer and a choir director working with the youth in the church and all. And so my mom made us sing. I wanted to be outside playing, but she made us sing, and so it kind of stuck. And my dad would travel all over in Illinois, Missouri, Chicago, and throughout the Midwest, and he would go preach, and we had a little family group, so we would be the opening act, you know. And so that's my heritage. I've shared with some of you that I used to live here in the D.C. area from 1984 to 2000, and I worked a lot on federal contracts and in IT, information technology. But I took a job transfer in the year 2000 and transferred to Silicon Valley. So that's what landed me in California. So now I've done both coasts, and I had family there. And so you know how many people say that when they found Unity, it was home? Yeah. I said that too in the late 80s. And now I feel that in a sense that I'm saying it's good to be home again. So here I am. It feels good to be surrounded by this loving, prosperous, dynamic, joyful community. And before I read it on the back of the program, I felt it. I felt it. So thank you for saying yes, for greeting me with open arms. You're investing in my future as a minister, and you're investing in the Unity movement. It's an exciting time. It's an exciting time because you probably heard this before, and I too feel that we're poised and primed and in a position to be part of a great spiritual transformation and awakening. It's happening all over the planet. And it's like there's a mutual awakening, an interconnectedness that is becoming more apparent. So I invite you and I invite myself to be open to spirit as it all unfolds. It seems like some of the major systems are rocking and are reeling, lots of shifts going on, like when old paradigms just don't work anymore. In all areas, human rights, education, health, earth sciences, science and technology, but Regardless of what's going on, we stand in the truth. We stand in the truth of knowing God is the one presence and one power that permeates everything with love, peace, grace, joy. And yes, that joy is that strength-giving power that keeps us moving forward, keeps us moving on. And if I could think of one thing that makes me want to push on a little further, that stirs me up and gets me going, is joy. I think, you know, just talking about it sometimes, the more I start to think on joy, the more I just seem like I felt it bubbling up. And no, it's not indigestion. It's joy. And I've been dwelling on this joy for a while. About a year ago, I had an assignment in class. And I had to do this six-month draft of a ministry plan if I were to do one and what it would look like and everything. And so my creative juices got to flowing. And it was all hypothetical, right? And I called it Joy in the Morning. And it would be this online virtual ministry that would have weekly talks and an online coffee tea chat thing going. And so I told this friend of mine about it. Her name is Reverend Molly Rocky, and she's the senior minister at Unity of the Oaks in Thousand Oaks, California. And so when I told Molly about it, she said, oh, that's great. And it looked like the joy jumped on her. Almost every time I would talk to Reverend Molly after that, you know, we would chat and I would tell her what's going on in school or some deadline I'm struggling with or something. And she would encourage me, you know. She would say, you know, Dinah, you can do it. You can do it. And you know why? Because you got joy in the morning. And, you know, you need friends like that sometimes to remind you that, you know, you got to embody this thing. So it's like my charge in the morning. It's sort of like, remember that movie where the character said, "Good morning, Vietnam!" You know who that was, right? the late Robin Williams, his character was Adrian Cronauer, and in the movie Good Morning Vietnam, he was tasked with raising the troops with his humor and his music and his compassion. And so I was thinking it's sort of like that, you know. Instead of Good Morning Vietnam, I'm Joy in the Morning. So what is joy? I think most of you know what joy is. I looked it up anyway. One dictionary said it's the intense, ecstatic, exultant happiness, or the expression of such feelings. It's great pleasure, or to take great pleasure, to rejoice, or delight. And another dictionary said that it was like keen pleasure or elation. You get the idea. So, but what I want to talk about is the spiritual aspect of joy. So, the co-founder of Unity, Charles Fillmore, in the Revealing Word, says that joy is the happiness of God expressed through his perfect idea man. Perfect idea man. And joy and gladness are strength-giving, especially if the mind is fixed on the things of spirit. Hence, we affirm, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that's Nehemiah 8 and 10. I like that. The happiness of God. Can you fathom that? The happiness of God. And it's not that we're ascribing emotions to God like an anthropomorphic God. We're talking about God now. The one presence and power of the universe. And now you have to say universes. Of all creation, God is infinite, everywhere present, an all-pervading substance out of which everything springs forth, the eternal God. So joy is not a quality or something that can be up and down and in and out, and it's pervasive. is pervasive, and it is the gladness of God, and it is expressed through God's perfect idea man or human, the I am, which is the divine pattern or composite by which humanity comes into expression. So as the offspring of God, you and I can come into this realization that we are one. We are one with the one. We are one with all the blessings that come with our inheritance as creations of God. So this quality of joy would have to be infinite, an innate quality for us as spiritual beings, particularly since God is expressing in, as, and through each and every one of us. Then joy is an enduring quality, and it's not based on external temporary circumstances. It's not all pink, bubbly, happy babble. It's not just emotionalism. It goes deeper than that. It goes much deeper. So Scripture has hundreds of passages on joy. I tried to look them all up. really, do a search. It's hundreds, and so I had to pick one for today. The one that kept rising up for me was Isaiah 12th chapter and the 3rd and 4th verse, and it says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted." And something got stirred up when I read that, because I could see just a little bit of a clue in this verse on how to stir up that joy when you need to. It's saying that in this state of gladness, this great delight, this elation, that you will draw means to bring up and bring out. You will draw what? Water from where? From the wells of salvation. And I love the image of a well. This imagery is used a lot in Scripture because, you know, over in the Middle East, in and around Jerusalem, it's dry. It's dry, hot, arid. You get parched. And if you could find a source of water, a well or a spring, it was a welcome sight. And sometimes we get parched and dry and thirsty, too, in a sense, with our humdrum of our daily lives and on our spiritual journey. Anybody facing some stuff? Watch the news lately? You got your own reality TV show going? Your docudrama? Could you use some joy? You would be like getting a cool drink of water from a refreshing spring. So I want to talk about how to draw from this wellspring with joy. Now, I know this verse was taken from Isaiah, who lived a long, long time ago, but I think there's a couple of nuggets that we can use here in the 21st century. Isaiah was one of the major prophets in the Hebrew Scriptures who spoke on behalf of God. He spoke to his particular audience, the kings and the Hebrew people of that time. And in the first 11 chapters of Isaiah, there were these sermons and pronouncements and judgments, and he was letting them know, you know, when they were getting off track and getting away from God's will and God's purpose. And then in chapter 12, there's this outburst of thanksgiving and praise. And it reminds me of Psalms. You know, there's great exultation and praise, like we heard today. And so Isaiah has a way of seeing and reminding the people of God that God's presence and glory fill fills the earth and is always revealing God's will and God's purpose, and that in this divine relationship with God, it calls for righteousness. Righteousness, right action, right-mindedness toward God and toward their fellow humans. And this divine relationship, it shows forth as salvation. And that Hebrew word, Yeshua, means deliverance, your help, prosperity, security, victory, all that. And so we too have experienced God. We too have experienced the blessings, and we've experienced the good of God, right? Yes? In prayer, in the silence, in fellowship, in just seeing the blessings unfold, just thinking on God sometimes. We can experience joy and gladness. We experience it also by just keeping our minds on the truth. And with that joy, we can draw water, that living water, from the wells of salvation. Because that well is inside of us. And with the realization of Christ in you, the hope of glory, we can experience that joy all the time. You always have that well inside of us to draw from. So this water we're drawing, this water represents life, the living waters. They are waters that give life, and that more abundantly. And they are flowing from the all-providing, all-pervading source, God the good. We know our divine source is unfailing, unlimited, right? So that right there tells me that my joy then is unlimited, it's unbounded. And so I have the potential for ceaseless joy baked in. Because we're made in the image and likeness of God, we can boldly claim and affirm that we are one with the all sufficiency of the universe. You know, in 2004, I got laid off from my job. And at the time, I had over $100,000 worth of debt. It was not a house included. I'm not an extravagant person. This debt just mushroomed, I kid you. And and I had to check and see what's going on. I've been a truth student, you know, what's up with this debt? It was a debt consciousness I had to work on. I began to get this abundance consciousness, knowing that I was one with the all-sufficiency. There's plenty, plenty, plenty. The universe is just pouring out of that kingdom. So we can claim our rightful inheritance just as Jesus did, because this divine relationship is established. And as we learn and practice and know the truth of our being, who and what we are in Christ, joy becomes our natural expression. Jesus Christ, our way shore, constantly pointed the way to the kingdom. You know, the way to the kingdom, he constantly was revealing the kingdom, and people got caught up with the finger. But he pointed the way. He knew God as Abba. He kept telling people, your heavenly Father knows whatsoever things you have need of. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said, I have said these things to you that your joy may be full and that your joy may be complete, complete and full. Ask that your joy might be full. So we can draw on this well. We can draw it all from this well of salvation, the source. And it has everything we need. Salvation is a full and complete package. It's deliverance, it's healing and wholeness and security and peace. Remember, it's all inclusive. It's a full package. Look at somebody and say, you got the full package. And so I feel it. I feel that joy rising up with that realization. Metaphysically, salvation, it means this. In the revealing word, it says, quote, it is the restitution of man or humankind to our spiritual birthright and regaining conscious possession of our God-given attributes. And it comes as a result of a change, a transformation. When we wake up and leave the old habituated thinking and error thoughts and come into the realization of our oneness, our divine stature, all the blessings come with the territory. So with this wellspring inside of us, I keep hearing my dad. My dad was a singing preacher too. and he used to sing this song, I remember when I was little, out of your belly, out of your belly, out of your belly shall flow, 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 flow. It was a call and response thing going. Rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. It's unlimited. It's an infinite flow. And you are one with your good. So how do we appropriate this good of God and keep this joy and gladness going? Let me offer you four things. Just have four things. And number one is not just because I'm a singer, but make a joyful noise. Making a joyful noise. You can sing, you can rap, you can do spoken word, you can do poetry. It's the power of your voice that changes the vibrational energy around you. Have you seen these pictures on the heart map? You know about heart map. And they have a website, you can Google it, and they have this picture that shows how human beings, we have an electromagnetic field around us that goes out almost like 20, 25 feet. And when you walk into a room, I can just see the electromagnetic field in this room. All your joy bubbles are bouncing up against each other, and it's raising the vibrational energy in this room. But singing is one way to raise that energy. Sometimes we got to prime the pump. Now down, I'm not going to tell you how old I am. Now down, when I was little, we used to go down in the country to my grandfather's house, and they had a well. And the well to get water up out of the underground rivers was a pump. You had to prime the pump. Sometimes you had to prime the pump by singing. And I know this because in 1999, when my mother passed, she taught me to sing. That was my legacy. My mom passed, and I couldn't sing for 9 months. Every time I opened my mouth, I'd hear her. Certain notes I'd hit shook me up a little bit. But I talked to my older sister, Bertha, and she said, you know, just as you're driving, doing the dishes, just sing a little bit, just see if you could sing a little chorus or something. And I would do that over the months. And my niece was getting married, my niece Rashida, who lives in Prince George's County, and I just so wanted to sing for her wedding. And, you know, I practiced, and finally I got there. Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy! Joy comes in the morning. Then I got to where I could sing. And my favorite, one of my mom's favorite was, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. God's eye is on the sparrow. I know God watches me. Because joy is always running. It's always running. We have to tap into it. Second thing we can do is express gratitude each and every day to the people around you, to strangers. This is very powerful. Very powerful energetically. A third thing we can do is do divine right actions with joy, whatever it is you're doing. Being fully present with a friend who needs you to hold space, or using your time, talents, and treasure just for the joy of it. This is unspeakable joy sometimes. When you can give anonymously or give to someone who doesn't have any means of giving back to you, this joy unspeakable. Sometimes that joy will well up and you have no words. It's like you just wave your hand, you know? And as that joy becomes apparent, others, you give others that same capability. It wakes up that capacity within them as well. A fourth thing to do is keep the faith. Keep the faith. I call it the bucket of faith, because that bucket you have to drop down into the well or the underwater spring. You got to drop that bucket down. Faith is that ability to lay hold on and perceive all the good of God's kingdom. And once you see it with your mind's eye and tune in the spirit and align yourself with God, your faith draws forth all you need, and it shapes it and brings it into manifestation. So drop the bucket of faith. So I want you to continue to cultivate and stay in that state of joy. It reverberates out into all aspects of our lives. It opens the floodgates. It's expansive, and it frees you to be all that you were designed to be. So go into this week with unbounded joy, unspeakable joy. Thank you, and God bless.